And the fact that,
around the fact that the weather and so forth. And I mean, it's been a bit of a nightmare lately with rain. I know it's not too bad for Cirencester, of course, with the 3G, but I mean, away games and stuff. And I see today that the Northern League, not the Northern Prem, but the Northern League, steps five and six, have asked the FA for an extension of their season. And I mean, how bad do you think it's going to get? And I see snow's on its way.
it depends if the rain stops, doesn't it? I don't know. It was January weren't too bad. It's just these last sort of 2 or 3 weeks. There's nothing you can do about it. We've just got hope the weather dries out, the pitches dry out, and we can get on with it. We haven't got too many to catch up on. I think we've got Hadley away, and I think we've got Tame away. I think they're the only two real midweek ones we got. We've managed to get Kempston at home and on a spare Saturday, so it's hopefully not going to be too bad, and we should get to the end of the season all right, if long as it stops raining.
And from our point of view, we've just got to fill in Biggleswade. They had pipes burst in the clubhouse, so that game got cancelled. But it would have been cancelled anyway that weekend. So I think that no fixtures went ahead anyway. So we've just got one Tuesday out to Biggleswade. So far we've done okay, but the weather can change quite quickly, and we could get more called off. But that's the nature of this
That's
country, I'm
it.
afraid.
I think the one that's furthest behind is Wellingarn City, 21. So they're quite a way down. And I think the funniest thing of it all, because I live in Waltham Abbey myself. Used to be the youth chairman at Waltham Abbey, and in them days, Waltham Abbey's pitch used to be like Southend Beach. Sort of, you'd never ever sort of get a game on this sort of time of year, just a bit of rain. And their pitch now is probably as good as Cirencester's, probably. It's and it's grass. But they've played more than anybody, which is 27, which is quite funny when you look back to it's maybe sort of 5 6 years ago when their pitch you would never get a game on it. They'd probably be at about 10 games by now.
I think we played them in November, and I can remember walking on the pitch at the time, and just thought it's amazing for the level and the amount of football that gets played. And their assistant, he came over to me and said, "Oh, because you know that I'm a landscape gardener," and he said, "Oh, you must like this pitch. If I'm being totally honest, give me a good grass pitch any day of the week. But the level that we play at, I think the Astro that we go and what you can utilise it at your facility as well. That's the big thing for clubs like us, that we can use the facility all year round. Can have four games on it on a Saturday if needed. So yeah, but yeah, Waltham Abbey's pitch is probably the best we've been to. Being honest, yeah, it was really good, but we lost 1-0, which is not what
Yeah, we haven't been there, I think.
But I mean, I suppose. First questions first. Let's get the monkey off everybody's back and just talk about the situation, because I know Macca knows I was going to ask him the question. I mean, what is the scenario? We saw the news 2 weeks ago, was it? I think 2 weeks ago, 3 weeks ago, around the decision from the FA around not being able to go up this year. And I think it's one of those things that I was actually on a live stream at the time when it came through, and I was actually on this live stream with the manager from Ware and the manager from Wellingarn City at the time, and it was and I think we were all sort of a bit taken aback by it. It was a little bit about, well, how has that happened when you were promoted into the division above, then you come back down again? I mean, why is it then this year that you can't get promoted to go back?
When obviously, I mean, I weren't involved with that side of it sort of 2 years ago. I think obviously we got 2 years ago, so we got into the playoffs. We didn't finish in the playoffs, which is quite ironic because, well, obviously Wellingarn City weren't allowed to compete for ground grading reasons. We then got promoted into the playoffs, and probably looking back, maybe from a club point of view, from where we are now, probably weren't the greatest to win it. But we're in football because we want to win matches. We probably played the two best games of that season, and we ended up getting promoted, winning the playoffs, and going up. Now, obviously, as everyone knows, when you go up, you get a certain amount of time to get your ground up to the grading where it should have been at. We at the time there was, I think, three things we needed to do. Obviously, the decision makers at the time, the board of directors, I think there was three or four of them at the time, got two of them done. We had to get a new boardroom built, and we had to get an extra turnstile. I think we had to have three turnstiles or something like that. So they got all that done in place. They were going to get grants for it, and then it got built. I think there was a confusion between whether it could get built without planning permission, and then someone said it could, someone said it couldn't. I'm not sure. I mean, like again, I weren't involved with them decisions at the time. And it basically got built. The boardroom got built. The turnstiles got built, but the stand never. And the grant never came through because whether they'd done it, they'd gone about it wrong. They built it before the planning permission was done, or what? Again, I don't really know. And then it left us obviously in a situation where we had to get 100 seats. I think it's 100 seats stand to be able to compete. And then basically, what's happened over the last two seasons? I think again they got a little bit carried away with the promotion season, overspent in the promotion season, and I know for a fact they overspent trying to stay in the league. What you got to remember is, and people obviously, Bruffy, you know North Lee. We're a little village club, probably about 3,000 people in North Lee. We get, 150, if we're lucky. Occasionally, we might get 250. And you're trying to compete with team. I mean, Western Supermare, I think $15,000 a week or something their budget was. We never can get to compete with that. And I think they just got carried away with it. They overspent. And it got to a point, obviously, when two of them left quite sudden for personal reasons in December. And then there was obviously a lot sort of money owed here, there and everywhere sort of came up. And then obviously they asked me if I, because I've been at North Fleet for 18, 19 years now, player, physio. They just said they need a friendly face, as it was, to sort of like, to be like, to front
the club. They asked you, friendly face.
Well, that's what I said. I said, why are you why are you all sitting here looking at me? I said, I don't want to.
No, perfect man. Perfect
exactly,
man.
I don't know. But yeah, and I had this niggle in the back of my mind about this stand. And then obviously when we had to reduce the budget to help pay the money we owed off to certain people. And then it got to a point when I said, well, look, hang on a minute. We need to, since our secretary, we need to find out this about this promotion. Are we eligible to go up? He looked into it and he said, no, the FA have come back. You need to get the stand. We looked at a stand. I think it was between 25 and 30 grand to get a temporary one put in. And then sort of went to the committee and said, well, look, this is the position we're in. Obviously, we owe X amount. The budget is this week. It is X amount a week. We're trying to pay this person, trying to pay that person, trying to keep everything going. Realistically, have we got £30,000 to spend on a stand? They came around, came back and said no. And I said, well, then, okay. Again, this is your committee's decision. Do you then want to struggle each week to try and pay the expenses of the players for something that we can't achieve? And they turned around and said, obviously, with the position the club's in at the minute, financially, they didn't think we could. So they voted on it. And it was voted that, yeah, we'd have to slash the budget and concentrate on trying to keep the club going. Yes, from a football point of view, it was hard because obviously we were, I think at the time we might have been top or we might have been second. But from a financial side of it, which is now what I'm having to look at, I'm having to look at both, whereas before it was just 100% football. I mean, it started in December when the changes happened. We keep going. But then obviously as time went on, the people that have come in the club, I mean, there's two or three now that are actually directors of companies and businessmen. So they put in the business side of it first. And it was a hard decision, but I think overall for the club, I think it was probably the best decision. And half of me thought maybe the players there would think, you know what, we've got a chance of winning something. Maybe we'll stay. Maybe we'll try and see it through. But realistically, footballers nowadays, they're not going to do it. But it's unfortunate. And that's the position we find ourselves in. But we've got some decent young players coming in now. Who knows? We're just going to take it game by game and yeah, see what happened. Proper Royal to Rover stuff, if something we were managed to actually pull something off. But we're just going to take each game as it comes, try and finish as high as we can and enjoy the rest of the season and look to start and build for next season. So, but that's it.
How many have you lost? Have you lost a lot of players?
Probably about six, I think. There's quite a few.
I've tried to sign two.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, it's a bit too far for them to go, though, isn't it?
Too far.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, it's mile. Yeah, it's far. See, that's the other thing. In the old days, Northleigh, and even when you were there, Bruffy, we had quite a few local players.
Yeah.
But now, obviously, players they. The manager in the summer, JK, he dragged them in when Tane sort of maybe found themselves in the same position as us financially. So they're travelling from Tane. They're travelling two or three times a week. And yeah, when you're not getting maybe what you were getting, I could totally understand it. And there's no bad feelings towards any of them. A couple have left and gone higher. Obviously, Owen Dawes, he's left and gone to Salisbury, step three, wish him all the best. And Jack Tutton's gone to Harrowborough, I think, as well. So, again, I wish sort of all of them the best. They done what they could for the club when they were there. And, yeah, they're now they've moved on. They've got a different challenge. And, like I say, Northleigh will keep going. And, yeah, let's just get to the end of the season and see where we are.
I mean, what is the situation, though? I mean, where now, then, do you... When you sort of have a conversation with manager and so forth, what is the sort of, you know, where you expect to finish now? I mean, are you still expecting to finish in those sort of playoffs or chasing them up there for promotion with Bedford? Because, I mean, they lost to Kempston at the weekend.
Yeah, that's it. I spoke to Dan last night at the Gaffer. We played Vets together yesterday. We had a pint after and we were just having a chat about things. I mean, his opinion is we just go for it. There's no pressure on the youngsters that are coming in. So it's just take game by game and we're just going to finish as high as we can. We can't go up, but I think it'll be a good experience for the youngsters that are coming in and hopefully puts us in a good position for next season. So it is just game by game, just try and chip away. Let's try and get as many points as we can. And like I say, who knows? Let's just take game by game and just finish where we as high as we can, and we'll worry about it then.
Could it be a situation, and I suppose there's no funny side to it, but I mean, could it be a situation where you look at it at the end of the season and it's yourself that misses out on the playoffs because of the ground situation, and then it's Welling Garden City that are the ones that.
Yeah. Actually... yeah, it could be, couldn't it? That's it. It's ironic, isn't it, that we get promoted because of that, and yet we can't go up for that. And then, yeah, I mean, if they go on a decent run and they get in the playoffs, then why not?
It was just something that was I was discussed yesterday with the manager. I was talking to him yesterday, and I said to him, I said, that would be sort of like a really sort of weird scenario if that was to actually pan out at the end of the season, that would happen. But I mean, on a plus point, I mean, tell us about, you know, the job that you've now got to do, sort of picking up the reins sort of thing from December, and tell us a little bit about the club and how you want it to go from now on in.
I mean, it's been going, 116 years. I just need it. We just need it to keep going, which we will do. There'll always be a Northleigh. I think we'll always be a summer league club, obviously, I think as well. I think we can sustain it. I mean, there was conversations last season, obviously, when Chrissy was in charge, Chrissy Allen, and he was saying to, obviously, the board at the time, he said, John, if you think we can sustain step three, are we not better to drop to step four? Or do we need to go down to step five, rebuild and come back up? But it was always, no, we can beat step four. Obviously, last year, they wanted to sustain step three, but it didn't happen. It probably was the best thing for us to do was to come down. I mean, like I say, it's hard now at step four, but if we had stayed up, I mean, it'd have been virtually impossible with the financial side of it to keep us there. But there are plans. I mean, we've got planning permission for a 3G at Northleigh. I don't know if you've ever been to Northleigh. Obviously, the slope. I'm going to miss the slope. I've played on it for years, but we're in our ground is situated in the estate of a stately home, Ensham Hall. That's just been. The actual building itself, the landowners, the Mason family, they've just sold the leasehold to Estelle Manor, which is a big, massive sort of top market spa hotel, and they've spent, I think they spent about 150, 200 million, sort of knocking it all down, rebuilding it, doing everything. And they are, they want us to be there, but they don't want us to be there. They're sort of, they're offering, they know we've got planning permission for a 3G, and they're sort of saying, well, how about if sort of we could maybe relocate you, do this, do that, and whatever. So there are, plans there. The 3G's got the planning permission. The funding's almost in place. The lease just needs to be, I think we've got a 20-year lease. We just need to get a 25-year lease sort of signed off, and then we can go. We can go with it. It's whether or not we do it where we are now, or we do actually move down the road a little bit, and they relocate us there, and we put it in place there. Now, it's like the same situation Siren are in now. The money you're going to get from that pitch, because it's going to be used all day, every day. You haven't got to pay training costs. All your youth teams can be on it. Like I said, there can be four or five games on it on a Saturday, a couple of games on it, four or five games on it on a Sunday, and all during the midweek. And that will all help the club. That will all get money in, and that will help us get back on an even keel. And we just go again. We just need to get through this season. We just need to get through maybe next season as well. But there's a lot of people now that sort of stepped away from the club over the last couple of years for whatever reason, whether fell out of love with the club or didn't sort of get on with people that were involved with it. Again, I don't really know, because I was just sort of involved with the football side of it. But a lot of people are now coming back, and sponsors, just little bits. I mean, not massive sponsors, but just putting a little couple of hundred quid in here for a board for that. And people are now coming to watch games again. So I think we'll be all right. It is hard work, and it's been a massive eye opener for me. Obviously, from coming from the football side of it to the business side of it, which is why I've got a couple of my mates in that used to be involved with the club a few years ago that are company directors. And it's, I said, look, you two need to be in charge of all that. Let me worry about football with Dan and stuff. We'll get that sorted out. If I need something, I'll come to you. But I mean, meetings, I've never had so many meetings in my life. It's unbelievable. Well, obviously, this tonight, I've got a meeting tomorrow, a meeting Wednesday. I mean, I'm coming home from work worn out, and I'm getting in from meetings, and that's it. I'm worn out. I don't remember what I'd done before this, because I've got no spare time now. I've got a lot more grey hairs. It's not quite as grey as your beard, though, Bruffy. But
if the club did sort of get relocated, though, would that sort of solve? Could that solve the problem of the stand?
Because it would I mean, I've seen some plans that what they're proposing, and it's great, but I don't think Northleigh need that. I mean, because they're on about a grass pitch, 3G pitch, paddle courts, hockey pitches, it's great. But as I said to her, I said, well, like, who staffs that? Who has to heat it? Who has to light it? Because, I mean...
That would be the big concern.
That's it. I mean, we can't do that.
The energy bills.
And getting people to work there and stuff like that. I think we need, ideally, what we spoke about as a committee is a 3G pitch, obviously sort of there, a grass pitch there, both floodlit. And they're talking about a grandstand down the middle, which either side, so you can watch one game and watch the other game. With a clubhouse at the top, and then you can watch either games in a function room. I think that's all we need at the minute. Well, basically, all we really need at the minute is a 3G pitch in a clubhouse to keep us going, yeah. And then just improve it and extend it as and when. But I mean, it's all positive. We just got to dot the I's and cross the T's, and that's hard at the minute. But I'm
all right. But as a football man, how frustrated are you that, you know, you're looking at that table, and, you know, I was sitting there looking at it, and we were talking about the Central League, you know, quite a few people, and it was just a case of, right, okay, well, it's good. The title's between yourselves and at the time Bedford, and maybe Biggles Wade as well, in there, you know, the three of you, and you thought, well, the title's between you three, and then you've got maybe two spaces that you've got to be put in, and, you know, no disrespect, Siren says they're always in and are there, not just because they were there, always there or thereabouts anyway. So you're looking at that sort of scenario and thinking, right, it could be, anybody down to about, I think at the time, down to about 11th that could actually sort of get into those sort of final two playoff places. So I suppose on the football side of it, that must be extremely frustrating for you to know now that you've got, you know, at least another season to, you know, to go before you can get, you know, the possibility of promotion.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it massively is, isn't it? I mean, if you're mid-table or you're down the bottom, then all right, you can take it. But yeah, where we were in the league, from the football side of it, very, very frustrating. But again, I'm seeing it both sides. I go back to the financial side of the club. If we had gone up, we probably couldn't have afforded it to do it and sustain it again because of the massive overspend that we've had. It was just bad decisions. And like I say, people just got carried away with us being at that level. No one's meant to do it. It's just one of them things. It's a small club like North Lee, yeah. But it's massively frustrating. But at the same time, now I see the other picture, and it is what it is. There's nothing we can do about it. So it's just like I say, we just go game by game and just let's just finish as high as we can, have a good season, have a drink at the end of it, and look back and think, yeah, we've done really well in that season. But yeah, frustrated.
Yeah, no, I can see it in your face. I can see how frustrating it must be. But John, I mean, I was talking to you before, you know, Maka came on, and was just, you know, laughing and joking, saying that, you know, we went to, me and the wife on Friday, of course, went up to the funeral of Anthony Hughes, of course, the Southern League chairman. And it wasn't until we were about sort of 2.5 hours, 3 hours into the journey, we saw a signpost that said Cirencester 40 miles away. And we're thinking, struth, that's how far up it really is. Do you know what I mean? So I suppose I said it to quite a lot of people. It's one of those things, I think, where everybody goes, got to go all out to, I think it was Highworth as well at the time last year, and yourselves have got to go all out now. But I think people forget, and I think, you know, the Secretary of Mousel will be on in a minute as well, you know, and you, I think people forget, yeah, okay, we've got to go up to Cirencester, but you've got to come down this way, you know, 21, well, not 21 times, 18 times, and you've got to come down this way 18 times. So how difficult is that to have been put in the Central League last year and sort of same again this year? And how difficult is that? And how important is that for you maybe to get promoted this year, to get out of that and maybe get shifted back into maybe, you know, Premier South?
It's been difficult. We appealed it again at the start of the season, especially with Didcot getting promotion and Highworth getting relegated. There are two closest games. Our local games now are Northleigh, Tame and Kidlington, all over 45 to an hour away. As Macca said earlier, some of the players have left. I've tried to sign some of those players, but they won't travel as far as that. That's our local derby games. So
they messed our nights out as well, didn't they? After both the games, they put him on bloody bank holiday weekends.
It's difficult. It's been difficult. Recruitment and the travelling. It costs so much money for the coaches. North Lee are probably in a position where they can get to most games without a coach. But I'd say only four games that we probably shouldn't have a coach for. But this season, we've had two coaches and the club can't afford to pay any more. So we travel ourselves. The club give us a few extra pounds to cover costs of petrol and fuel costs. But yeah, but we've sort of used that as a siege mentality. And right, we'll go to wherever and we'll rock up at 1:45, all in cars, all the kit bags in the back. Hopefully get the 3 points and have a couple of beers and drive home. And that's the way we've sort of tried to work it this year. So it has been difficult. Recruitment's tough. I had some players who live in Wales, and that extra, it's an hour plus, as you know, going to Merthyr, back to Siren, and then they've got two and a half hours plus on top of that. So we lost our keeper last year. So it was difficult, but we've got a squad together, a slightly younger squad than I've had before. And we've just got to find a bit of consistency, because when we do, a match for anybody, but we can go and beat top of the league, but we can also go and lose to the bottom. But I think that's a bit of a trend of the league anyway. You look at the weekend result with Kempston beating Bedford, which on paper, if it was a pools, it'd be a certain away win, but Kempston got the win, and fair play to them. And we found it difficult when we go to the teams fighting at the bottom to get the win. And it's been a tough season. And like you say, you look down to 12th, and even teams in 12th will be thinking we can get to the playoffs because there's not a lot in it. A couple of wins and you think you're rosy. A couple of defeats and you think could be a slog for the end of the season.
And I think that's really weird to hear you say that because, you know, I can agree because, you know, that's the one thing that I get from Paul Housie at Weir every single weekend. Do you know what I mean? Their season this year, and because I chat with him every Sunday, you look at it and it is a case of he wins one, he loses one. He draws one, he wins one, he loses one, he draws. And I say to him, it's just crazy how it seems to be like that, but he's still in touching distance or just outside, just inside the playoffs. And yet he's had this sort of up and down season constantly all the time. But I mean, I'm just looking at your next four fixtures and you've got some toughies, haven't you? Bedford at home, yeah. Wembley away, Biggleswade Town at home, and then Stopfold because they're top of the form table and at home.
But we seem to do better against the top teams. And that's the trend that we've had for a couple of seasons, which we tried to get to the bottom of it, but we've struggled. And just going back to North Lee, each week you think, oh, they've got a tough game there, but you kept coming away with the points and the consistency. And you get that winning mentality throughout the side and throughout the club. Obviously, the blow that they've had since December has kicked them right between the legs. But I'm sure they're going to pick points up against people. We played North League twice, won one, lost one, so we haven't got to play them again. So it will be, hopefully they can take as many points off the top 10 sites.
We'll try to. Yeah.
I know you'll try, mate. I know you'll try. But you'll do it for yourself, not for science tests, but do it for yourself. But
yeah, we will do.
We're in a position where we've put ourselves in a position where we are still fighting for the playoff places. And I think you're right, obviously with North Lee not being able to go up, there's two, we've probably got three spaces to fight for now. So we'll be doing everything we can, which we do every week. But yeah, it'll be a very big test on Saturday because they'll want to bounce back, especially losing last week.
I mean, is it a situation now that, I don't know. Is it a situation with players though? Is that really difficult? I mean, what sort of catchment area can you go into for those sort of players?
Yeah, I've got one from Oxford. I've got one from Chepstow in Wales. They're the two furthest away, either end of the scale. I've got a few local ones. To be fair, Swindon's always a good area to pull from. And then the Gloucestershire area, which is my main, it's where I live in Cheltenham. So that's a lot of players that I know from that area. Do lean on Cheltenham Town for the odd youngster as well, which we've got one on work experience at the moment. So yeah, we won't say we steal, beg and borrow, but we try. We try because we haven't got a development side this year. And we haven't got an under-18 side this year, which is not really helpful towards the first team. So we don't have anything to pull upon if we get injuries.
Can I ask a question before I forget that? I mean, it's something that Paul Housie picks up all the time. And he says that, you know, one of the things that, and I know he was on calls when the late Anthony Hughes was on sort of shows with us. And one of the things he always used to say to him was, look, you know, come on, look, we need a reserve. Under-18s, under-23s, whatever it might be, sort of league in here. And I think the one thing that surprises me with it is that I think because of the swap arounds, there might be teams closer to you in the Northern Premier League, or there might be Isthmian League, etc., etc. You know, there seems to be that little bit of a crossover of where teams are at the moment. That if the Northern Premier League sort of had, I'm just using that as an example, had an under-23s, that Sara's sister can't, you know, under 23s couldn't play in that league, or they couldn't play in the Isthmian League or whatever. So that, as it's a Trident league, why is it then that you couldn't, you know, under 23s level, that they couldn't actually sort of play in those divisions? Or do you feel that the summer league should have their own individual under 23s league? And the reason I'm saying to swap over is because there might be teams, I know, say for instance around here with Ware, you might get a situation where you've got Hendon, you then might go over, you've got Enfield Town, you've got Enfield Football Club, Redbridge, they're going to be a lot closer to them to have an under 23s with them, rather than going to North Lee, Cirencester, trying to take an under 23s up to there. And it would make more sense to have those sort of under 23s leagues a lot closer.
Yeah, I think from our point of view, it's finances. That was the main reason our development side got pulled, and it does cost money to run those sides. And if you've got a first team competing at step four, our development side was playing at step six, so two leagues below in the Hellenic, which was a good feeder, really. We could drop players down, we could play needed fitness, extra games, we could drop them down. We could also draft the young ones up, sit on the bench, get the experience. But the club decided that they couldn't really justify having a development side. I think finances, and obviously Mackerel will vouch for this, finances at step four, and we're very similar in terms of attendances. We get anywhere between 150 and 200. It doesn't cover the big scale of running a step four side, especially with the travelling that we have to do. Mm. And that's why we have to lean on other clubs for dual registration. And lean on your Cheltenham Towns of this world to lend us their prospects. And some work, some don't, because the 16, 17-year-olds stepping into a man's game. But so far, the boys that we've had from Cheltenham have really done well. So in an ideal world, you'd have an under-18s. We've got teams from under-7 or under-8s right through to 16s. But then we need to bridge that gap to the first, and it's a money situation, which is why we haven't got one at the moment. Hopefully next season things will be put in place to at least get an 18 side, so that the 16s coming out of our club can go straight into our team rather than go to a local team.
We got an under 23s and an under 18 or 19s, I think. But we do it through that the Precision Academy, so they're just badged as North Lee, and the 23s and the 19s. I think there's quite a few of the 23s are going to sign for us and do a job, hopefully, for the first time. And I think there's a few of them that play for Didcot as well. So it doesn't actually sort of cost North Lee money because they play under the Precision Academy banner, and that works for us. I mean, it might work for other teams, it might not, but that's how we've gone, and that's how we feel that we can do it.
Absolutely. Well, I suppose one thing we should say, and should have said sort of at the beginning, of course, Friday night, of course, was, as I call him, the boss, his funeral on Friday, Anthony Hughes' funeral on Friday, of course, the Southern League chairman, and what a turnout to make him proud and the family proud. I mean, it was standing room at the church 45 minutes before the service in the crematorium. It was just crazy. They were streaming it outside, streaming it in another building, streaming it in Merthyr Town Football Club. It just actually showed you how much and how much love there was for Anthony. Myself and my wife, we travelled the 4 hours up, and other friends we know of as well travelled 4 or 5 hours to get to Wales as well. But a massive thank you to the Merthyr Town Football Club as well. What a fantastic effort they put on there as well, putting on the wake afterwards. Also to the family, to Debbie, to Victoria, to Sean. A massive thank you, and so brave under those circumstances at the weekend. It was an amazing tribute to their dad, both in the funeral and at the crem, and a fantastic job done. And as I've said on numerous occasions, the man will be greatly missed by the Southern Football League in the years to come. And also, of course, one thing I suppose from my personal thing, conversation I've had over the last few days, if there's somebody out there that wants somebody to go on their committee, a director of their club in the Southern Football League, then please give me a shout through Twitter. And you can find me on there at non-league RD up. He's all one word, non-league RD up. And I'm more than happy to have a discussion with clubs there. I would love to go on to the Southern League board myself to carry on Anthony's work alongside everybody else. And to really push this league forward. So if there's anybody there that can help me out and maybe wants a director or a committee member, then please contact me at Twitter. Or if you've got my telephone number personally, then why not drop me a text or a WhatsApp and we can have a chat there. But joining me, as normal, on a Monday evening, and he's looking younger and younger every single week. Of course, he's the secretary, Mr. Andrew Large of Mousel. Welcome, Andrew. How are you?
The flattery doesn't work, Dave. Sorry.
How are you, mate? I mean,
but you're still welcome to a free pasty anytime you come.
I mean, looking forward to trying to play Biddeford for the third time tomorrow night.
It's the fifth time.
Oh, is it fifth time lucky? Is it?
Yeah, we've had one postponement because of the we were in the FA Trophy. And then every subsequent rearranged date has fallen foul of the weather. So this is the fifth possible occasion tomorrow. But it promises to be a very good match. Cornwall versus Devon. Devon Giants, they're referred to. And just looking at their record, Biddeford, they've got a very, very good away record. You know, it's almost as good as their home record. And they're up there in the playoffs. And it looks to me that as though they could still be there at the end of the season. Mm. Who knows? I was looking at their facts. Their manager, Sean Joyce, was appointed in 1998. Mm. How about that?
26.
That's 25 seasons He's been in charge of that club. And when they were in the Western League, I think they won the Western League five times before it was compulsory to take promotion, you know, in more recent times. And he's also won the Southern League Division One South as well. So, I mean, a great record. I mean, just the longevity of the man is something to behold. Mm-hmm. So it's a great challenge for us. We've beaten two playoff contenders in the last two matches, Froome at home, and Cribs away. So what an occasion tomorrow night, so long as the weather holds off.
Yeah, absolutely.
It does get very, very wet in West Cornwall. When it rains, it rains.
Macca, would you like a manager for 25 years?
I'm going to be the chairman for 25 years. when I started at North Leeds, Mark G was a manager. And I think he'd done 18. But yeah, I don't know. It'll be if you enjoy it, and yeah, crack on, carry on. But it's from what I've seen these last two or three months, how stressful it is. I don't know if I could be doing it for that amount of times.
Yeah. But I mean, Andrew, I mean, you know, going really well. I mean, the weather's been a bit of a pain on the backside for you, but I mean, you know, but I mean, the club all of a sudden we had a sticky patch, and now all of a sudden it's on a little bit of a good run, and he must be looking up again.
Well, it's interesting, isn't it? Because I was looking at the league table this morning, and Evesham, who are fourth, are only 7 points ahead of Larkhall Athletic, who are 14th. So basically, it's 11 teams separated by seven points. I think that was a point being made by your guests last week.
Yeah.
It's a very compacted, very condensed division, but it applies not just in our league; it applies elsewhere as well.
Well, in Macca's league as well. I mean, your league, Macca's the same, isn't it? I mean, Very much so. Very, very, very condensed league.
Yeah.
And it's a bit just what you said there. I mean, Evesham are sitting there fourth place on 37, and you know, right the way down to Willem Rovers, who are in 14th on 31. It's just, you know, crazy stuff, you know. And there's people there that have played 21 games, 25 games,
yeah,
27 games, 23 games, like yourself. You know, so it's even then, you know, if you start putting points, if you start putting the points on them rather than if they win them type thing, you're already sort of maybe putting, I don't know, 9 points on Tavistock in 12th, you know, and that puts them fourth. You know,
I think it's going to depend on who gets points against who.
Mm.
Yeah. But probably it's always around about Easter, isn't it, when things become a bit clearer. You've got those two games over Easter. We've only got one game over Easter because our Easter Saturday game would have been against Hamworthy United.
Yeah.
So we've got a blank Saturday. But then we play Exmouth on Easter Monday. And although Exmouth are bottom, we've never, ever beaten them.
Right.
Never, ever beaten Exmouth. So the league table doesn't lie for a local derby. Yeah.
So, I mean, one question I suppose I should ask both of you guys, both at step four, one in the central, one in the southern. Are you looking forward to next year when it comes to, and I was going to ask John that, but John's just dropped off. But I suppose for teams like Mousel and Cirencester and North Lee as well, maybe, it's a situation we're going to get another three teams to play next year. So that's another three away games. I mean, yeah. Are you hoping those three away games are going to be a little bit closer?
Well, I can answer that, Dave, if you don't mind me butting in.
Yeah, go on.
We may lose Exmouth this season, but we've got Falmouth and Helston Athletic that are almost within walking distance, who are riding very high in the Western League Premier.
Mm.
So from our point of view, two out of those, well, some of those extra teams may well be quite local.
Mm.
You know what the geography is like. You've got, as you've often said, we travel to Malvern and vice versa, 252 miles. It's only about another mile in geographical distance to places like Cirencester. Yeah. So who knows? Yeah. Mm. Nothing is cut and dried this season, but we already travel between 7,000 and 8,000 miles a season. So I suppose another 500 or so makes not much difference, especially if we can coax the coach company into a bit of a discount.
Do you fancy that, Macca, 8,000 miles for away trips?
Yeah, that's a lot, isn't it? I mean, we had quite a lot last year in the Southern Prem, going down to, obviously, to West of Supermare, Truro and Plymouth, obviously the same ground. But the Central, whoever comes into it, as long as we stay in it, I know we're not, we're sort of out of it a little bit, but we're not as far out of Siren. We're not too bad. I think the majority of our games are sort of an hour and 20 away. So it ain't really too bad. Whoever comes in, I just look forward to next season where I'm sitting at the minute. Want to get to the season and whoever we play, we'll play and we'll go and we'll have a good time.
Absolutely.
When we was literally at the, you know, at the funeral and that on Friday, you know, Murphy got the message through that their game on the Saturday against Plymouth Parkway away was called off. And you can see some of the faces and some of the fans that are in there going, oh no, Tuesday night.
We done that last year on a Thursday night. I mean, we didn't get back till about 4 in the morning, but that's a long way to go, and especially for us on a Thursday night.
I think it was a case last year as well with Hendon in the division in your league last year. Their last two away games were Western Supermare and Truro.
Yeah, yeah.
And if I'm not mistaken, and I know it's not in our league, but I'm sure when I've seen it, and I'm just going to double check this year in the Vanarama South. And if it's not, it might change because of fixture changes, et cetera, et cetera. But, which I think it, no, it hasn't. So the last two away games for Averley. So if you know where Averley are situated, up there by sort of Thurrock, M25 junction area, their last two away games on April the 6th is Truro. Oh. And the 13th of April is against Western Supermare.
Yeah. You know, Truro play at Taunton now, don't you?
They play at Taunton now, yeah.
Yeah,
they've moved to Taunton for the last few games of the season because of the Plymouth Parkway playing surface and up to standard, up to grade or whatever it might be. So
they were at Plymouth last year, weren't they?
Yeah.
So that's
when the plan is for them to return to Truro sometime next season. They've got a ground being built at the moment, and I just read this week the pitch has been laid, but they won't get the permanent infrastructure in place for the start of the season next season. So they're going for temporary, which apparently is okay by the FA, which is good. So you will have possibility of Truro, if they stay in step two, and that's a big if, returning to where they left about 5 years ago.
I think it's just that really sort of, I heard somebody turn around and say, you know, around these journeys, and I think, I know that to me and Andrew discussed it a lot of times, you know, but I think sometimes you look at it and you think, well, yeah, maybe you could do this or you could do that, but it's not many alternatives to be able to actually move things about. And I think sometimes it's, you know, it's not a job that I think I'd want to be doing. You know, Lawrence Jones and the guys that have to do
absolutely
all that. I think it must be a horrendous job at the end of each year, having to look at it and going, got to try and get all these jigsaw puzzle pieces put together. And there's going to be someone somewhere that's not going to be very happy about the travel or whatever it might be. And I think with adding those extra couple of teams into step four, could that, I don't know, could it be a situation where they start looking at them and Cirencester get moved over to somewhere else, or somebody gets moved into somewhere else to make their travelling a lot easier. I suppose it's a case of just waiting to see, because adding those extra teams into step four next season, it could mean a little bit of a swap around again.
Yeah, I mean, we've gone from south. I mean, so I used to like the south and west, and I like the central. For us, the travelling was, it's probably not much difference whether we're in the south and west or we're in the central, unless we're going down to Plymouth and places like that, real far down now. Cirencester, yeah, I can understand why Bruffy had the ump, because they're another 45 minutes away from us. Mm. And to put them into the central was quite a hard decision on them. It's like, I don't know if they're going to drop out. I'll be honest with you, I don't really look at the league tables at the minute, the league above step three. I don't know who's going to be dropping down. I'm just sort of worried about us. So, I mean, whoever we get, we'll just go to them, we'll enjoy it. If they're closer to us, then yeah, great. Because we're not going to be coaching, I don't think, next year at all. Our academy, Precision, let us use the minibus. So that's what we sort of resorted to doing now. So it's wherever we got to go, we'll go, and we'll get there wherever we can. But if they are closer, then yeah, it's better for us. But it is what it is.
I mean, looking at the Premier Central, just so you know where we are. So Nuneaton, of course, have gone completely.
They've gone,
which is really, really unfortunate. They're the ones then coming down to Burke Hampstead, of course, who were in the Central last year.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, close to us,
if it stays as it is at the moment, Longeaton United, they're in very big trouble. Birkhamps are only on 12 points, Longeaton are only on 14 points, and then you've got AFC Sudbury, of course, who were an Isthmian club last year. They're on 24 points. Kettering Town are only on 28, and then above that you've got three teams on 34. But so it's probably Kettering, AFC Sudbury, Longeaton, and Birkhamps. Yeah. Three from four there, possibly, that can come down there, I would guess. And again, teams can go on runs and move up and down. But let's just have a look at the Premier. Where are we? Premier South. So Premier South, at the bottom of Premier South at the moment, is Didcot. They're on 22. Yep. Harrow Borough on 25. Tiverton are on 30. Swindon Supermarine on 31. Plymouth Parkway on 31, Dorchester 33, Hanwell 34. So it's quite tight, right up to probably even Paul Towner on 38. They're only 7 points off of the, you know, that sort of drop zone. But then Andrew might get his wish and might get a trip to Harrow Borough next year.
Well, we've been talking about this, haven't we? For we always, last season when we were in with the chance of getting promotion, we looked at the relegation candidates in the the league above the league above, and it included Hendon and Harrow Borough. And that was a nightmare for us, well, and for them as well. Don't forget, for every long distance journey we make, they've got to come to us. And it's actually fooled quite a lot of people, because they think as soon as they get to the bottom of the M5 at Exeter, they're nearly there. But we're right at the far end of Cornwall. It's, you know, it's a very, very big journey just from that point.
Well, we've got to.
We've actually noticed an increasing number of clubs coming to visit us on a Saturday come down on a Friday.
Mm.
It's very unfortunate for Melksham last Saturday, because they came down on the Friday and the weather was quite okay. The pitch was playable. No need for a pitch inspection. Everyone agreed. They came down, stayed overnight. It absolutely poured down overnight, left the pitch saturated in the morning. And we had three inspections on Saturday morning with Melksham, you know, in full agreement. And it was eventually called out off at 1:30. So at 2 o'clock, they went back to North Wiltshire, not having kicked a football. That's really unfortunate for them.
Mm.
It could happen to anyone. Yeah. I think one of the problems down our neck of the woods, if anyone, you know, if you think about the geography, is we're sort of at the end of a peninsula and the weather can change very quickly. So these Met Office forecasts that we rely on, you have to look at them almost every hour to see which way the wind is blowing the rain, because a slight change in wind direction and you get torrential rain sometimes, certainly in winter. I think the answer to it is, Dave, whoever provides the funding for 3G pitches needs to relax the criteria. Because if we've had something like 7 postponements this season through only through wet weather, not through frost or snow or anything like that. And it's actually quite costly. It's costly for the away teams if they've got to start travelling or if they travel. You know, you've also got things like match officials' expenses, because they get paid whether the match is on or off if they travel on the day. You've got all the catering sort of investment that goes down the plug hole, etc. So I think we're trying to put together a case where if we had we obviously can't afford to buy our own 3G pitch, but I think the rules of the funding body are, if there's a 3G pitch within a certain number of miles of where you are, you're not eligible for the grant.
Mm-hmm.
That makes sense?
Yeah.
We've looked into how well attended the other 3G pitches are, and they're absolutely chock-a-block.
Yeah.
So our case would be there is an unmet need, which would obviously serve the club first. We've got 13 youth teams that don't even play at our home ground. They play on another ground. So there's a sort of psychological distance created between the club and its youth teams, because they never play on the hallowed turf, if you see what I mean. But if we had a 3G pitch, none of those postponements would have taken place. And we'd have a lot more community involvement in the club. You'd have, you know, walking football, disabled football, school football played on it throughout the year, including in summer.
Yeah, and I suppose it's one of those things as well, you know, if you know you've got to go to Mals, or you know full well you're going there and the game's definitely going to be on, and you haven't got to, you know, no disrespect, you haven't then got to get all the way there and it's called off, or you've got to go down on a Tuesday night because it's got called off previously beforehand. I think that's probably quite good common sense in a way. If you look at certain things, I think that's one of the criteria maybe should be added into it, that if you've got a team like that or Cirencester that are put into a league that, you know, on paper looks absolutely nonsense because of the travelling distance, you've got that situation where you know you can help them out by helping them out. I know Cirencester have got one, but it would make perfect sense.
Mm.
Do you not get a lot of teams stay down on a Saturday night? Because, I mean, we've done it, if we were going all that way, we've done it a few years ago. I think when we played, I think it was Truro years ago.
Yeah.
We stayed in Newquay. We had a night out in Newquay. So we, I mean, if we were going that way, I'd try and make a night out of it, try and get everyone to go on and have a night out. But not you'd fancy coming to North Lee and having a night out in North Lee, though. Although the Masons is all right. Yeah, you get a good point in the Masons. But, yeah.
I think from our point of view, assuming we could cough up with the last figure I heard was 975,000 to lay a 3G pitch if you pay for it yourself. And it is possible to get private funding for it, but of course you've got to pay it back. You've got to pay it back and you've got to have a good business case. You've got to be able to afford the interest as well as the, what do they call it? Like the sinking fund cost, because there are maintenance issues.
Yeah, that's it.
Replacement issues. There's all sorts of things. So I don't know whether it's the right solution or not, but what we want to avoid at all costs is having to play Saturday, Tuesday, Thursday, Saturday at the end of the season.
Yeah.
Because that's not a really fair level playing field end to the season, is it?
No, it's not. No. I think we're about 850, but we've got a lot, obviously, because we're on a slope. So they've got to take it from the top and drop it down to the bottom. It's got more groundwork. I'm fairly sure I've seen the figure of about 860,000. A lot of money, but it's something I think that clubs of our size, definitely North Lee, I think we need it, because we can't afford to have the games called off, because we need all the revenue we can get, and you use it all day every day, you use it all night. You have to pay for training costs. You haven't got to go and find somewhere. Absolutely. And there is, I think, Oxford City have obviously got two. They got the main pitch and they got an outside pitch, and there's an ATP in Whitney, and they're the only two that are around there. So if you can never get on them. So I think it's a must.
I think the other thing about it from a club point of view is you make a lot on people coming to play, you know, with families and supporters who also do secondary spend in the clubhouse. So I think if you added up all the financial benefits, it's quite possible it could pay for itself, but you need that kickstart of the initial capital funding. And as you said earlier, it's the groundworks that are probably a major, like with all building, the groundworks that are probably the most expensive part of the whole project. All we can do is inquire, make suggestions, et cetera, et cetera. The only thing about 3G pitches, because this was with, was it Sutton United? Mm-hmm. Once you get to step one and get promoted, you have to replace it with a grass pitch, which costs another 600,000 to tear up your 3G pitch.
Which is always one of the craziest things we've always said. You can play World Cup games on it. You can play Champions League games on it. You can play Europa games on it, etc. FA Cup games on it, but you can't play Division Two football on it. Crazy, but there we go. but the scenario was basically what I was chatting to Macca about before the show started. It's a case of something that, you know, you need that leg up. In my situation at the moment, and of course in your 3G situation at the moment, you just need that leg up so that you can carry on and go on and do it, and you know you can do it at the end of it. So it's just that little bit of a leg up that you need to start with. But listen, guys, a massive thank you. Massive thank you to John. He's just sent me a text. Unfortunately, his Wi-Fi dropped out. Massive thank you to Macca. We wish you all the very, very best with North Lee.
Thank you.
Appreciate that. Yourself there at chairmanship as well down there. And we wish you all the very, very best.
Thank you, mate.
Down there, and hopefully everything gets sorted and we can see you pushing for promotion next year. And to you, Andrew, of course, a massive thank you for coming on from Dallas. Just hope that game against Biddeford goes on tomorrow night. Yeah. Let's hope that you've got 6 points in the bag when we get to speak this time next week.
Okay.
No worries. Thank you for everybody for watching. Okay. I say a massive thank you as well to everybody at Merthyr Town, as we said before, and to the family as well down there at of Anthony's as well for what was a fantastic celebration of the boss's life. I'll be back next week. Hopefully Tommy will be with me. You never know. Keith might even make a return next week. But until next week, a massive thank you. Don't forget, tomorrow on Wednesday night, of course, you will get the chance to see the next episode of the Southern League Goal Show, all the goals from the weekend, 7 or 8 games in already. So hopefully we'll get a lot more of them coming in as well. You'll get to see those goals on Wednesday evening. But from me, until next week, good night.
Thanks, guys.
Cheers. See you later. Ta-da, mate. Bye.